You're listening to ResultsLeader.fm. Being a thought leader is easy. Getting results is hard. This show is for the results leader who lives and dies by their results. Here is your host and chief results leader, Jonathan Rivera.
Yes, yes, y'all. It's time once again for another ResultsLeader.fm. If you're new here, welcome. If you're returning, welcome back. So glad that you're here. And you know what we're about. We are about results. And we're interviewing results leaders in every industry. Today we have Mr. Dean Gyllenhaal, a master certified leadership coach, an all-around good dude, and a fun interview. So let's jump in. Dean, welcome to the show. Are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's give our listeners a super quick win. What book have you given most as a gift?
Intelligent Leadership by John Matone.
Why that book?
Well, it's the book that I have been reading, or I had read before I became an executive coach. I found it useful, and many of my personal network and colleagues and family appreciate that kind of work. So it's good to let people around me know what I'm doing.
All right, it's story time. Tell us a story of how an apparent failure set you up for later success.
Okay. So one area of apparent failure that I actually turned around to success was, in my prior role, we had a new client that we were investing money for. They had a specific strategy that they wanted implemented. The president of my company and I met ahead of this meeting, and the analysis that I had done didn't really match the story that my boss wanted to tell. I held my ground, went into the client meeting. I presented the material as I knew it, and it was exactly where we needed to be. So I was a little bit led astray by a leader because he had his own way of thinking of things. And I stuck to my guns with my analysis and went in there, and the client was totally happy with what we did and what I did.
What'd you learn from that experience?
Well, two things. One is, if you know you're right, stick to your guns. And secondly, really understand other people's motivations while you're preparing for something like that, a big meeting or anything. There was a disconnect between what I had done and what he expected to do before the meeting and prep. But once we got there, everything was good.
What do you think your boss's motivation was that led them astray?
As with anything that you're planning to do, not everything goes exactly as planned. In this case, the investment strategy, we had to pivot while we were doing it for market reasons and nothing that we had control over. But in the end, the results were fine and met the client need. However, you know, for someone to be pointing out that we had to make that pivot, his impression was that that wouldn't look good for the client. But in the end, we were good.
What would you say is the most worthwhile investment you've ever made?
I think the worthwhile investment I've ever made is in my education and continuing education. What I mean by that is, when I was younger, I chose to go and get my MBA, take advantage of a company-sponsored program. Beyond that, once I got into leadership roles, I invested in exactly what I'm doing now, which is management training, presentation training, best execution, all of those assessments and workshops that I now offer. I took advantage of those in my prior role, and it was a big differentiator.
In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Okay. In terms of behaviors, you know, what I've learned in my training for ILEC and becoming a leader and coaching those that want to become leaders, really understanding who I am, who my clients are, you know, how to achieve the goals that we outline, and then also my personal health in terms of continue to be very active and put the right things in my body. And ultimately, that produces better results day in and day out as a person, which in turn helps my clients achieve their goals as well.
I want to go deeper here. So there's two pieces that I want to dive deeper into. You said understanding who I am and understanding who my clients are. Who is Dean?
Okay. Who is Dean? Well, I can say that I'm an extremely disciplined and hardworking person. I value that in people. I value good debate, and I value an active lifestyle. So in a nutshell, that's kind of who I am at a high level.
And who are the people that you serve?
I serve, first of all, my family. I need to be there for my family, my immediate family, my extended family. Professionally, I serve my coworkers, I serve my clients, I serve my community, and we all wrap that all together.
What are some bad recommendations you hear in your area of expertise?
So I think from a leadership perspective, in my experience, there's a difference between a boss and a leader, okay? So people that are consider themselves a good boss, you know, they're very tough-minded, they stick to the numbers. That's not all. So, I mean, that's part of it, but that's not everything. That's missing a lot. What you need to understand is who the people are. Everyone's different. There's no right answer for everything. You need to put yourself at the same spot as your clients and your coworkers. And there's no right answer for everybody. But as a coach, you need to discover, you know, the path and work diligently with your clients and coworkers to achieve a specific goal.
So what's the difference between a boss and a leader?
Well, a boss could be someone that is really good at their job. They get put in that position because they're good at their job, but they don't have any formal training and they have their own way of doing things and they want to hit the numbers. They're on a drive to do something. A leader doesn't need to actually, I mean, you can use the numbers and all that, but you need to, everyone needs to buy into your vision, right? So a leader is able to influence people.
Yeah. How do you get people to buy in? Because what I hear you saying, like in my mind, what I'm playing is manager versus leader. And yeah. So how does a leader get people to buy into their vision?
Right. Well, first of all, you need to know who you are as a leader. So you need to understand that you have some of your own strengths and weaknesses. And that's what ILEC does, is they help you find your most prominent strength and focus on that, but also your least mature trait, which is something that you have, but you just don't use it a lot. Once you can understand who you are and take steps to improve that, and then articulate that vision to your staff or people around you, forget the numbers, focus on the people, bring them along with you. You need to have a shared vision. You need to work together. And, you know, you achieve more together than you do apart.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program for a public service announcement. We're going to get right back into this show, but I wanted to ask you a question. If you have been listening to the show for any amount of time and you've picked up even one single tip, then I need your help. Get the word out. Tell people about ResultsLeader.fm. Share it on social media. Share it on your email. Share it anywhere. Hashtag ResultsLeaderFM. Now let's jump back into the interview. Dean, why do results matter?
Well, every human on this earth needs to perform a use to society, right? So in order to do that, you need to achieve something. I don't care what it is. You know, if you're at home doing anything, you know, on the weekend, you need to achieve, I got to go out and mow the lawn. I got to get all this stuff done. That's an achievement, right? You do that in your workday, in your career. You do that with your family. So results are important. It gives people something to shoot for. And that, in turn, makes yourself and people around you better if you're marching towards something, particularly if you're marching towards something together. If you don't have those aims and those goals, then there's a lot of wish-wash, right? So you never really get those results and you don't improve as a person.
Let's play a game here. One of the things that you said that I want to play around with is mow the lawn. And that's something that we've all done. You have a house, you mow the lawn. I did that. And it's one of the first things that I got rid of when I started hiring. So how do we know if we're spending our time getting the right results?
Well, some of the results you're trying to achieve may change over time. Like you said, you know, early in your career, you're not married, you go out and, you know, do your weekend stuff, for example, or you go to the gym. But as you grow and your network grows and your family grows, there are other things you get involved in, right? So you might be volunteering for an organization. You might be helping out coach youth sports. I just think it's important to set these aims, particularly not just in work, but in family and in life in general. You need somewhere to point and be a useful member of society.
In the last 5 years, what new realization has helped you get better results for your clients?
Well, one realization is the economy evolves, okay? So, you know, we've seen back in the mortgage crisis, you know, what happened to the housing market, the stock market. Some of the realizations I have is you need to be able to pivot. You need to stay on top of what's going on in the world, get out of your own little comfort zone, and pay attention to what's around you. Things are going to change. So, you know, the realization now, for example, is you have this great resignation happening. You have these younger employees that are just hopping jobs just to get an extra little internet paycheck, and they're not really thinking about the big picture. So you need a plan, you have big picture, and realize that it's going to change over time. 10 years from now, it's going to be a totally different situation than it is today, like it was back in 2008, 2009 in the markets. Totally different situation. You know, back then it was the mortgage crisis and stock market. Now it's inflation and the Great Resignation. 10 years from now, it's going to be something totally different. We don't know what it is. But again, realize that you may need to pivot over time.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because there are people out there who, even like you said, that Great Resignation, where people are bouncing around from job to job, not thinking about the big picture, long play, they're jumping around for nickels. How do you know when is the right time to pivot versus staying the course?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, every situation is different, and you really need to look at your long-term goals and plans before you make that call. And I did the same thing when I switched careers. I don't think there's a specific right answer or a cookie cutter answer. You need to look at, you know, where you are now. What does your organization offer you? You know, if it's just a paycheck, is there something else? You have more vacation? Do you have better 401k matching? What's the other opportunity in front of you? Do you really understand what you're getting yourself into? You might be moving to something that's going to pay you $5,000 more a year, but it could be super high stress, right? And you really need to do your homework before you make that call, not just personally, but professionally. Network as much as you can, really learn and do a compare and contrast, right? So here's my current role. What are my prospects? Do I like being here? Do I like the people? Here's my new opportunity. What's really going on? There's other people that I can talk to that can kind of give me an inside scoop as to, you know, what I should expect if I make that move. I don't think a lot of people do that these days, especially younger people. They're just looking for the increase in pay. You know, I was talking to a firm recently in their accounting department. You know, there was some turnover and people were leaving for not that much more money, but they didn't have the same benefits. So a 401k matching for a young person, they don't see that, right? But if you continue to do a 401k matching over the long term, you're going to be way better off financially down the road than if you're hopping somewhere else where you're not getting that. So there's a lot of factors at play. There's a lot of benefits. Again, here we go. Does your company offer leadership training? Right. So that's something that, you know what, maybe if you're not that happy and you might get a marginal increase in pay at another opportunity, maybe you go back and say, hey, I want to be a lead at your company. I don't see anything right now, but if you put me through a leadership training program, you know, I'd love to stay and work with you to forge a path there. But a lot of people don't think like that. And I'd love to be able to talk to those folks and, you know, set them on a path.
Let's dive into that a little bit, because I feel like this was one of my advantages in life. Is the fact that I seeked out mentorship and I always hung out with people older than me. And you're saying, or what I heard you say, is that young people basically are not looking for mentorship or don't know how to find it. So what would you recommend to those people? Because it is something special when you can tap into somebody else's wisdom to shorten your learning curve.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's really depends on the culture that you're working in, right? So, you know, if the culture is not conducive to that mentorship or further training, it could be like pushing on a rope, right? So you might want to be doing better and getting more training and they're just not doing it, right? So that's a unique situation. But I do agree that every person that really wants to excel does need a mentor, because like I said, you might want to be the next leader of the company and you're pushing on a rope and you can't get there. But believe me, if you have someone above pulling that rope instead of you pushing it, you're going to have a better outcome. So it's really incumbent on those individuals maybe to do some self-study, you know, do a little research on themselves and see what's out there and come up with a proposal for your company and say, you know what, I really want to be a part of the future. You know, what can I do to get there? But if individuals have goals, well, I just want to get a bigger paycheck each year, that's fine. But what happens is, what I've seen sometimes is you get these resumes where someone's switching jobs every 2 or 3 years. So as a hiring manager, and I see that, it's like, oh, okay, I'm not expecting this person to be here for 4 years. And there might be roles that that's perfectly fine for and industries that's perfectly fine for. But if you're a business owner, ask yourself that question. Is that someone that they might look great on paper? They might be a good presenter or interview well. Look at the track record. You know, is that someone that you can grow a company with?
What area of your business would you like better results?
In my personal business with my coaching business, yes. I would love to have more discovery calls with potential clients. I think that's where I learn the most. So over time, I'm new to this, and I've had multiple conversations with people in different industries. And that really gets me charged up because every situation is different and I learn from everybody that I speak to. So for me, to answer your question directly, I would love to have more initial discovery phone calls with potential clients.
What results are you most proud of?
So far, well, I'm going to answer this in two ways. One is in my prior career in investment management. I am most proud of my performance there, the team I built, and the business that I grew. It was fantastic. In my new journey here, just freshly into it, I'm not even a quarter all the way in, but what I think I'm most proud of is my 90-day plan to get this business up and running. I've done that, and I've put together 5 different marketing strategies, and I've gotten potential results out of a couple of them. And again, this is new. When you're building your own business, you're not going to snap your fingers and be there, right? So it's going to take time. Being patient, I'm being disciplined, and that's the same philosophy I will apply to my coaching clients.
Any parting thoughts you'd like to share with the results leaders who are listening to us right now?
Yeah. Again, results are important. Everyone needs to be a useful member of society in some way. Outlining those results is the ultimate goal. But before you get there, you really need to understand yourself. You need to find your strengths and your weaknesses. We do that through assessment tools at ILDC. Come up with we call it an ILDP. It's an Intelligent Leadership Development Plan. Based on the results of what we do in the coaching journey, you come up with this plan and you execute it alongside the coach and achieve the results that you defined before the journey started.
Excellent. We have been speaking with Mr. Dean Gyllenhaal. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. Results leaders, thanks for tuning in. Another episode is in the can. That is a wrap for another edition of Results Leader.fm. If you are out there getting results for your clients and you want to be featured on the show, go to resultsleader.fm now and apply to be on the show. And if you love what you're hearing, share the show, give us a rating and review, do anything to help us get the message out there. Thought leadership is easy, but results leadership is hard. We'll catch you on the next one.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.